When you haven't found love, it can feel like everyone else has. It's in every movie, every song, and all the PDA. Looking for love sucks. Thankfully, California Psychics can give you the guidance you need to find the one. We guarantee, if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. Visit CaliforniaPsychics.com and experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Sarah and Vinny on Alice.
You have a very nice day at work.
Alice at 97.3.
If you are a fan of the 1975, I think you just had that moment that you're going to remember the rest of your life at Glastonbury. Are you guys familiar with Glastonbury? I hadn't even heard of it until like a year ago.
I've heard of it, but it's you know, I know it's a huge thing in the UK.
Yes, it seems like it's kind of their Coachella. That's what how I'm going to brand it. And it was this past weekend, and the celebs were out, and the headliners were headlining. And what I saw a lot of content in my algorithm about the 1975, which is Maddie Healy's band.
Do you like them?
I do.
I love them, and I've seen them live before, and they're really good.
Yeah. I hadn't seen them. I think they were at a festival I was at, but I didn't make it. I never look at the schedule too closely. I just kind of float around. Beep, bop, boop, from stage to stage. So I haven't seen them yet, but this was their...
You're so cute.
Beep, bop, boop. This was their, like, their ultimate goal as a band was to headline Glastonbury.
Oh, and so they were having a moment.
Yeah, it was their moment. Like, okay. Maddie Healy was crying. The crowd, they played in the stage, I think it's called The Field, which is the biggest stage at Glastonbury, and it just looked so cool. But apparently during the show, he did a little dig at Taylor Swift. And at first when I saw this, I was like, come on, like this is his moment, the band's moment. I don't think that he's going to be taking time to like address Taylor Swift. But like, it's kind of hard to deny. Right before he plays this song called Chocolate, which is famously a song of gibberish. Do you know this one?
I think it's one of their first hits though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an older one.
It's an older one. Okay, go on.
Yeah. He talks about how he's really sarcastic on stage a lot. He talks about how he's the songwriter of his generation. And he says some might even call him a poet, which is kind of hard to deny that that's like a reference to Taylor Swift, since she did kind of write a whole album about him called The Tortured Poets Department.
That's about him?
Yes. Yeah. Like every single song is about him. You didn't know this? You thought it was about Joe?
The newest album that she's released, which is a year old at this point, or is it 6 months? What is it?
Yeah.
A year? So whatever. It's about him?
Yes.
I thought they were only together for a couple months.
Yes, but it's like a twin flame, like they like situationship. Those are the ones that really stick with you and like give you the most inspiration, I think.
Is that right?
Yeah. So my theory about Torture Poets Department is that she is using Maddie Healy as like kind of a cover so that she can talk more about Joe, who she obviously respects and was in a relationship with for a long time. But it's kind of hard to deny a lot of the themes and whatnot seem to be very much about Maddie Healy. So they were like a thing way back when, but Maddie's had a lot of drug problems. And then right after she broke up with Joe, she, fresh out the slammer, she's running back home to Maddie Healy. And they had a whole thing while she was on tour, very short lived. It was legendary. It was momentary. It was unnecessary. And yeah, so apparently he's taking a dig at her on the biggest stage of the world at his biggest moment.
Okay, so the part that you just told me about where they got back together after she broke up with Joe Alwyn, we're talking about Taylor Swift. I didn't realize that was them back together. I thought that was the first time they were together.
Yeah, it was like a thing. They've always been into each other, and then that was the first time they were actually publicly together for like 2 weeks, a fortnight.
I saw this clip of him saying that, and he was in his cups, definitely enjoying a bunch of Guinness.
Oh.
And
I don't know if he really, I think the drinking might, it's kind of unclear. I think the drinking on stage he does might be fake.
Looked pretty real to me.
Okay. Yeah, well,
and he looked a little glassy-eyed. I don't know, but so I took it very sarcastically and like it was. I don't think it's a dig. I think it was a fun little,
but a reference. A reference.
Definitely a reference. But yeah, yeah, it wasn't like.
I still find that so interesting that he would do that. That he would reference her in that moment. But
well, if she wrote
that.
An entire album about him,
yeah.
doesn't he have a, I mean, I feel like he's should be obligated to at least comment.
So supposedly they're one of their biggest songs, About You. You know that one?
Mm-mm.
If when I don't know what to think about, I think about you. It's so hauntingly beautiful. Apparently that's about Taylor Swift and it's like old.
Oh.
Yes.
Yes. I don't know that
you're gonna
one.
Have to re-listen to it on the ride home because it's a good one if you're not listening to Alice. So also during the set,
you're also, so good. You're already okay. Go
look
on.
At this kid.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Also during the set, he shouts out some of the other headliners, including Charlie XCX, who we know had a huge year with the Brat Tour.
Uh-huh.
She is in a long-term relationship with the drummer of the 1975, George Daniels.
Okay.
So that was a little shout out to her. And I thought she kind of already closed the book on the Brat Tour at Coachella, but this was definitely an official end. At her Glastonbury performance, she literally burnt the backdrop that said Brat like to the ground, like it was on fire.
I have read she wasn't that great.
I am not a huge Charlie fan. There's also supposedly like beef between her and Taylor, and especially now that she's
wait
like,
a minute
in the Maddie camp.
I want to say I don't remember the name of the tour, but my youngest daughter and my wife went to see Taylor Swift the tour before the last one,
okay.
whatever that was, and Charlie XCX opened.
Yes,
for
yes,
Taylor.
Yes, yes, yes. So that's the thing. Most of her former openers, she's really close friends with. But she and Charlie like have never been spotted hanging out ever since she opened for her. And she's never said anything bad about her, but she's also very like political with her answers whenever people ask her about Taylor Swift.
But so there's beef.
I think maybe they just aren't on the same wavelength, which, I mean, if you just look at their music and their vibes, like, that doesn't surprise me at all. They're very different.
So if Taylor is not a fan of somebody, are you automatically not a fan
of
them?
No, of course not. I'm not crazy like that. I'm a perfectly reasonable Swiftie.
All right. Well, anyway, I thought because Charlie XCX had opened for her that they were cool.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think of the other lady that opened who's gone on to get pretty big since then, but I can't. She was with Shawn Mendes. What's that girl's name?
Camila Cabello.
She also opened, I believe, on
yes,
that tour.
Yes, she did. And Shawn Mendes opened on a Taylor tour way back when, too.
Oh,
I don't
okay.
Which one.
I wasn't aware of that.
Yes.
But anyway, those
She's
are.
She's helped launch a lot of careers with her opening acts, including Gracie Abrams,
yeah.
who also performed at Glastonbury. And
is she the lady I saw in the see-through shirt?
I don't know.
That lady was dancing in a see-through shirt, I believe. Gracie Abrams.
Did she have rock hard abs and like short brown hair?
I didn't see the abs.
Gracie Abrams, famously a Nepo baby, a very talented Nepo baby of J.J. Abrams, the famous director.
Oh, that's who that is?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Which, how do you guys feel about Nepo babies?
I believe that every person that can give their kid a lift up will try to.
For sure.
And I can't blame them for that. Whether or not their kid has the talent to pull off, you know, satisfying fandom.
Right.
That's on them.
Yes.
So, you know, is Gracie Abrams pulling it?
Oh, my gosh.
I think
so. She is insanely good. She is kind of like she's kind of like a student of Taylor Swift in her songwriting. But she has her own, totally has her own vibe, obviously. She is so talented. She is so beautiful. Her fandom is so cool. And she was seen with her boyfriend at Glastonbury, Paul Mescal. Or Mescal, I don't know how to say it. They were making out. So I think like 6 months ago we reported that they were like seen on the street together. But they are like, it seems like they're official. They're going strong.
Well, here's the thing about the Nepos. If they... if they're bad, people want them to be bad.
Yeah.
And they want to hate on them. So you've got to, if you're going to break through as an Epo baby, you've got to be really good. You got to have some kind of skill set, because people aren't going to be like, oh, they're great. And no, they're not.
No, totally. You can have the machine behind you, but if you're not actually good, like if you're eventually, you know, the cream rises to the top and
absolutely
the salt goes down the drain or whatever.
The photo is of Gracie Abrams doing the apple dance.
Yes, the apple dance at
Charlie's. Glastonbury. So that dance she did in a totally see-through shirt.
Are you familiar with the apple dance?
I'm not.
I think we should learn it and do it for social.
What is it?
It's super easy. It's like, it's just some hand motions and some hip.
But what's it?
So it's one of Charlie's bangers from the Brat album. It's called the Apple? I forget what it's called. Something related to an apple. And so this is called the Apple Dance. A TikToker came up with this dance and it went viral because it's super simple to do. And so you know how everyone's tours now, they do that thing where every night they do the same thing, but it's a little bit different to try and get like that boost. Like Taylor did the surprise songs. Sabrina Carpenter does a different, you know, sexy position, that kind of thing. Charlie XCX's was having a different person, like celebrity influencer, do the apple dance, like on camera, on the screen.
So will you do the apple dance on the break or so we can put it on Instagram?
Yeah, for sure. But I got to teach it to Vinny first. He has to do it with me.
All right.
We got time after the show
today.
I'm
not really a dancer, but I'll give you what I got.
Yes.
Blah, blah, blah.
Get up.
Wake up.
With Sarah and Vinny.
Legit. Yeah.
Alice at 97.3.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.